Welcome to Sermon on the Mount S. Ask, seek, knock. In my hand, as you can see, is a piece of bread. Well, more properly, it's a hot cross bun, but it's bread. In the other hand, it's a piece of flint. You could start a fire with this, something I picked up in East Anglia, Southeast England. It's very, very common. Think about that. Hold those images in your mind as we enter today's lesson. Ask, and it will be given to you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives. The one who seeks finds, and to the one who knocks, the door will be opened. Which of you, if your son asks for bread, will give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will give him a snake? If you then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give good gifts to those who ask him? That is our text for today. Following this in lesson T, we'll be looking at the golden rule. And that's one verse, that's Matthew 7:12. And we'll see how that ties into this. But for right now, we're looking at Matthew 7:7-11. We find three verbs here. Ask, seek, knock. Ask suggests prayer, since we're asking it of God. That's the most intimate of the three verbs. Seek. Seek entails purpose and focus. We're looking for something. Well, even if we don't know what we're looking for. But this is in the spirit, of course, of Matthew 6:33. That is, he says, seek and you will find, Matthew 7:7. But just nine verses before, he said, seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you. And so that's significant. We need to seek with the right heart, the right priority. And then knock. That suggests observation, persistence, especially when it seems that the Lord is on the other side of the door. Ask, seek, knock. And if you want to make an acronym out of those three verbs, A-S-K, the acronym is actually ask. Well, I think we need to talk about persistence. Certainly it's true that often in our Christian lives, we fail to follow through. We don't persist as we ought to. And yet, is persistence the point of this message? Maybe it's implied by knocking. And normally, when I knock on a door, I don't just give a single knock. I give two or three or some, you know, something like that. But I think this is more a passage about God. Consider what is maybe the most famous passage or parable about persistent asking. And that's the parable of the persistent widow. We find that in Luke 18. There's a widow who wants justice, and she has no help. Of course, widows are powerless and vulnerable in this society. And so she is beseeching a judge. A judge who's not particularly a good guy. He's not holy. He's not righteous. And yet, he says, so that she won't wear me out by her persistent pleading, I'll do what she asks. I'll help her. And then, of course, we're invited to think about God. If the unjust judge will give in, will be responsive, if for no other reason than his desire for comfort, not to be disturbed. Certainly, God cares for us. Well, that's a great passage. On the other hand, there's another passage that could be about persistent prayer in 2 Corinthians 12:9. The Apostle Paul had a thorn in the flesh. We're not told what it is. Thorn in the flesh suggests it's something physical, something that a doctor might have been able to help with, but we don't know for sure. And Paul tells us that multiple times he asked God to take this away because it was painful. And how many times did he ask? Three times. And you might say, oh, you should have kept going. You shouldn't have stopped it three times. You should have asked six times. Well, I don't know. It seems to be that this was the Lord's will. He discerned the Lord's will. And so when it comes to persistent prayer, there's one take, one view that you just keep asking until you get what you want. That to me is a little bit mechanical. Is God going to change his mind just because you asked 1,000 times to win the lottery or win the girl or pass your exam? Well, God can do what he will do. I don't know. But I think the Apostle Paul, who teaches us to pray continually in 1 Thessalonians 5, he is not a hypocrite here. He prayed persistently for that thorn to be removed, and that meant three times. So think about that when we think about how we ask God. There's some way, a balance point midway between obnoxiously trying to wear him out, like our will fighting against God's will, and at the other end of the scale, just a very lighthearted, dismissive, well, I thought about it or I asked once and I guess it's not going to happen. Note also that with ask, seek, and knock, mouth, eye, and hand are all working together. Ask with the mouth, we seek, which really involves our whole self, I suppose. The hand would be the knocking. Our whole self is involved in seeking God's kingdom as we look for it, as we discover it, as we focus on it. So mouth, hand, eye, all working together. Well, then you might ask, how does God answer prayer? We're supposed to ask, okay, ask and seek and knock. But how will we know the door opens or he's saying yes or he's given me what I asked for? Will the Lord reply with an audible voice? Will we hear him speaking to us? I think probably not. Now, I'm aware that there's some theologians who believe that if you're spiritual, deep in your heart, you'll sense God's will. It will be as though you're hearing a voice. And although that's not normally my experience, I can't argue against that. I don't really want to. I wouldn't know how to. God's speaking with an audible voice, as my voice right now, you hear it, it's audible. That's extremely rare in biblical history. Okay? I mean, it happened to Abraham, it happens to Samuel, it happens to a few people, but for most people, no. And so I don't think we should expect that. Allow me, please, to share three simple thoughts about how God gives to us and helps us to find and how God opens doors. God gives to us as we pray, but even sometimes we don't pray, he gives us great things. Some years ago, we received an inheritance. We hadn't asked for it. We hadn't expected it. I mean, maybe it was an answer to a prayer in a different way. Maybe 30 years earlier, we had prayed, Lord, please help us. It's hard financially. But God gives to us when we seek his will. And in my life, he's been so good to me. In Proverbs, it says that the one who finds a wife, you know, finds what is good, favor from the Lord. It's an excellent thing. And to have a wife, you know, in our finishing up our fourth decade of marriage, very encouraging. God has given us children. He's given me education, something I don't take for granted. Work. I mean, I've hardly ever been unemployed in my life. He's given me supporters, people who believe in this ministry, far more than I ever imagined would. And he's given friends, relationships. So we ask, and Jesus says, ask, and it will be given to you. So we're asking for, typically, I pray for guidance. I pray for God to help my character, to give me what I need to do his will. And he comes through. And sometimes you could just count your blessings and you'll say, okay, these are all from God. Or as it's put in James chapter 1, every good and perfect gift is from above. It's from the Father. What about helping us to find? God helps us when we seek his will, when we seek his word. For many years, I've had, ever since I was a teenager, questions about the meaning of life. And I've been on a quest. I've been searching. God helps me give answers to those questions. Sometimes they're Bible questions. Bible knowledge. Are you still in that learning mode? You seeking? Or do you feel like, well, actually, I found years ago, and now I'm just kind of polishing up my knowledge a little bit. Well, I hope it's not like that. That sounds boring. And then God opens doors. And typically, we pray to know God's will, and it could be multiple doors at one time, in which case there's probably more than one right choice. But God opens doors. I mean, I think of the chance to be here in the United Kingdom. We prayed, we sought advice, everything came together for us to move to Scotland. That's where I am right now in my study. Earlier, we had prayed about the possibility of Scandinavia, and we were thrilled to be able to live and work for just over 3 years in Sweden. I prayed a lot about my first mission post, if you want to call it that. It was London. I had just finished my master's degree. And a few weeks later, I thought it was maybe a permanent move. But God opened the door, not just with an invitation, but with a way to work. So I came over and so quickly found a job. In my life, I've experienced that God gives to me. He helps me to find, and he opens doors. Those are three ways, I think, that God comes through for us when we ask, seek, and knock. Maybe you would add something else to your list because your experience will be different to mine. But I have to comment on one other thing. This is the goodness of God. This is the whole point about the bread and the stone. God's not going to give you a stone. Now, this is not to say God won't allow hard things to happen to us. But here we're talking about that intimate relationship of prayer. A father won't give his son a snake. I know in some cultures you would eat the snake. And I've caught and cooked eel before. And an eel is kind of like a snake. But you get the point. Jesus says, almost just in passing, though you are evil. Do you notice that? In 7:11, if you then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven good gifts to those who ask him? Oh yeah, you guys are evil. Jesus doesn't say we're evil as human beings. He doesn't include himself there. He's speaking of you. I guess you would say fallen humans. And yet the difference between us and God is amazing. And if we would do good things for our children, how much more does God want to take care of us? Our holiness falls far, far short of divine perfection, yet we give our children gifts. And for some of us older people, we give our grandchildren gifts. Knowing our Heavenly Father's character, we should rest assured in his goodness. We shouldn't be anxious. We should actually not just not be anxious, we should be confident, and we should feel loved. Ask, seek, knock. In the next presentation in this series, we'll be looking at the famous golden rule.